Hello, and welcome to Essential Knowledge Updates, or EKU, podcasts from the Royal College of General Practitioners. My name is Dr. Thomas Round, and I'm a GP and Academic Clinical Research Fellow. I'm speaking this evening to Sally Higginbottom, who's been an EKU author for the past four EKUs, and has recently written the EKU 11 module on UTI based on the SIGN guidelines. So how did you find this module?
It was quite an interesting one to write this time because it was concerning a problem that was particularly pertinent because we see patients with suspected UTIs certainly in every week and sometimes in most days. So it was very relevant to the day-to-day job in general practice, which was nice.
And what were the key things that you've taken out of the guideline that you've introduced into your practice?
The main thing I've done is to stop doing a lot of the things I was doing before. So the sense that you always had to dipstick the urine if you thought someone might have a urine infection. Guidelines are very clear that if a young woman under 65 with symptoms of a urine infection, then you should just treat them, and that you don't need to send a urine culture unless there's a particular concern or they might be pregnant or some other complication. So it sort of stopped me doing things rather than most guidelines, which always seem to be encouraging you to do extra things. So that's been quite nice.
If you could describe what the typical symptoms would be.
Often they will say, I think I've got another urinary infection, doctor. And they'll say, I've been running to the toilet. They're complaining of frequency, usually dysuria and burning when they pass urine. And they may have some suprapubic pain. They may feel generally unwell with it. But if they're feeling significantly unwell with a fever or with loin pain, then it stops being a simple UTI and you follow the different bit of the guideline, essentially. If you think there's an upper urinary tract infection, then the rules change and you are sending a urine sample and you're giving them 7 days of antibiotics. But it's very much on the history that you're going rather than just what the urine dipstick says.
Reading the figures you have in there, that if a woman has symptoms of a low urinary tract infection, dysuria frequency, there's a 90% chance you would actually have a UTI. Absolutely, the evidence for dipsticks that the accuracy is quite poor and doesn't really add in anything other than your clinical assessment in most cases. Is there any cases that you would use a dipstick in?
Yes, I mean, what the guidelines suggest is to use a dipstick in cases where you're not quite sure, a sort of intermediate probability. So the symptoms perhaps aren't quite clear. There may be, as there are in real clinical life, a bit of confusion between whether this is some sort of vaginal or sexually transmitted infection versus a urinary infection versus something else altogether. And so that might guide you then. And it may help you rule out other significant diagnoses. If you've got someone who you think might have a renal stone, for example, obviously it's going to be helpful in ruling out other things, but you're not using it just for your simple young woman with a UTI anymore. And interestingly, more importantly, there is, as far as the evidence goes, absolutely no point in dipsticking urine from patients who are over 65 or who have long-term catheters, because they will always be positive. And that is particularly helpful because I think we all get messages from the district nurses saying, I've dipped Mr. Smith's urine and it shows he's got an infection. And there is no utility in those sorts of urine tests because the dipsticks will all be positive. So you have to use a completely different way of thinking about how to work out whether they've got a urine infection or not. And again, you're looking at their general wellness. So people might be complaining of, again, sort of dysuria or frequency, but they might be having rigors or a fever or worsening confusion, things which might be not obviously a urine infection in those situations.
So we're going back to the young female patient who's got a lower urinary tract infection. What antibiotics would you normally use?
The two of choice are trimethoprim or nitrofurantoin, because they're well tolerated, cover the majority of the organisms involved, and are not associated with the antibiotic resistance and C. diff risks the broader spectrum antibiotics would be associated with. And I think, as we all probably know now, the typical course is 3 days for an uncomplicated UTI.
You touched on briefly about an upper UTI. What symptoms would you have then and how would you treat that?
Patients with a proper upper urinary tract infection look poorly. They will usually have a fever and they will be complaining typically of loin pain. And they're going to need a 7-day course. And the guidance suggests something like ciprofloxacin or coamoxiclav. And in that situation, you do definitely need to send an MSU, not to prove the diagnosis so much as to guide the treatment if there's an initial treatment failure, so that you know what your resistance pattern is.
The guidelines cover pregnant women and men. I don't know if you wanted to touch on pregnancy, because
yes,
that sometimes confuses people.
It does. Pregnancy, the sort of two different groups. There's those who have symptoms of a urinary tract infection, and that obviously needs to be taken very seriously. They will need an MSU, And 7 days of antibiotics and a test of cure. And there's still a little grey zone about trimethoprim in pregnancy because it may cause difficulties in folate deficient women. And I think certainly personally I'd feel very uncomfortable giving trimethoprim to a pregnant woman. But then you've got sort of other options, whether that's nitrofurantoin or cefalexin. But the group we see quite a lot of is those that are positive on their screening culture. So all women should have an MSU culture at booking or thereabouts. And these women, presumably asymptomatic. So if they have a positive first culture, we should confirm that on a second culture, and then they should be treated. And then they recommend that these women should have a repeat MSU every visit until delivery. And that's because we know that that a proportion of women, be up to about 30% of those with an asymptomatic bacteria in their urine, will go on to progress to having an upper urinary tract infection during their pregnancy, which puts both them and the pregnancy at some risk.
So basically you send the urine off, it comes back with bacteria, but they haven't got any symptoms. So you would treat for 7 days on that?
You would treat for 7 days, and then you would do a test of cure with another MSU.
How long do you wait before sending the repeat urine for a test of cure?
The guidance doesn't say specifically. I mean, you want the antibiotics to be gone, essentially. And practically speaking, I thought you need a clear 3 or 4 days so that you're sure that you've definitely got a negative sample after that.
And then in terms of men's, how should you approach treating a male?
Well,
obviously a bit
rare. The guidance on men is rather, we say, based on expert opinion, because there doesn't seem to be very much evidence at all about what to do in urinary tract infections in men. There seems to be a real lack of research in this area. Essentially, you really treat men as if they are women with a complicated UTI. So all urinary tract infections in men get a 7-day course of antibiotics and an MSU because they're seen as being complicated because of the anatomical differences, essentially. So men are much less likely to get a UTI, but you should treat it more seriously. I mean, the differential in men is going to include things like an orchitis or a prostatitis, which may need a much longer course of antibiotics. And again, you may need to consider sexually transmitted infections as well as causes of dysuria, particularly things like chlamydia and gonorrhea. So it is a slightly different workup for a man, and you certainly wouldn't just treat in the way you would a woman with a short course of antibiotics.
So certainly in a man, you generally send an MSU and a chlamydia, gonorrhea, potentially urine test if they didn't have any discharge.
Yes.
And potentially do a PR exam if you were thinking maybe prostatitis.
Absolutely. So you're going to do a much, much bigger workup for them. There also isn't much guidance on who should be referred up to secondary care, either acutely or after a UTI. I mean, the guidelines suggest maybe men who've had more than one UTI or where there's some difficulty clearing it, so not responding to the first course of antibiotics, those sorts of things. There is nothing, it appears, cut and dried about UTIs in men. There's a gap in the evidence there.
We kind of touched on the patients with catheters, so you wouldn't routinely send MSUs off, you wouldn't send dipsticks routinely, mainly go on the symptoms of the patient. Is that correct?
That's right, and I think we've all probably been in the situation where you've got an elderly person or a catheterised sort of frail person, and you've got the question mark as to there's probably an infection. It might be urine, it might be chest, it might be something else, and it is a rather tricky clinical situation where people are just a bit unwell. And I think the guidance gives some sort of pointers for what you're looking for that you can sort of systematically work through, thinking about whether they've actually got any urinary symptoms they can tell you about. But even if they're not able to tell you about symptoms, they may have some sort of, the urine may be foul smelling, they may be urinating more frequently or at night when they don't usually. But things like altered states of consciousness, so people are becoming more confused, is often associated with a urine infection in the elderly. Again, you're going to want to do probably a 7-day course of antibiotics and a urine culture. But again, the urine culture isn't to prove whether you are right or not so much as to guide your treatment if the first antibiotic's not effective.
I guess the important note also is for nitrofurantoin in elderly or those with renal impairment.
Yes, I encountered this clinically as well. You must reduce the dose in renal impairment, and BNF has a clear algorithm as to what to do. And certainly the risk of nasty skin reactions with nitrofurantoin is much higher if you have renal impairment.
The SINE guideline doesn't cover recurrent UTI, but we just signposted in the EKU because we thought it would be important just to briefly cover. So as far as I'm aware, recurrent UTIs, if you have more than 3 in 12 months,
Yes, which is obviously relatively arbitrary, more than 3 and 12 months. And then there's a sort of a range of options, including using post-coital single dose antibiotics or a regular course of usually one at night antibiotics. And that's usually trimethoprim, though it can be one of the other commonly used ones. And there's good evidence you will reduce the recurrence rate for women.
Just to kind of summarise the main key take-home messages, really, for this module.
For me, the big thing would be that you don't need to do dipsticks or MSU if it's an uncomplicated UTI in a woman under the age of 65, and that you shouldn't bother dipsticking urine in older people because the results are just not helpful. And I think to place a sort of excessive reliance, I think we quite like dipsticks because they're a test we can do at the bedside right now and have a sort of air of scientific, oh yes, look, it must be a UTI, this is positive. The evidence just doesn't support that in most cases, so we should probably use a lot less of the dipsticks. Go back to sort of medical school history and examination a bit more, I think.
Thanks very much, Sally. I do appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.
You were listening to EKU 11 podcasts from the Royal College of General Practitioners.